Joining me now is a man named Fred Lucher. He is based in Boston, Massachusetts. And he is here to talk to us, first of all, about what he does for a living, and it relates to what he has to say. Mr. Lucher, welcome to the program on KFI today.
Thank you very much, Tom. I'm very glad to be here.
What do you do?
I'm a consulting engineer. I work out of Boston, and one of the prime areas that I work is I design, construct execution equipment used by the states for executing criminals.
Gas chambers?
Gas chambers, electric chairs, lethal injection equipment, and gallows.
There can't be too many people who do what you do.
No, I'm it.
You're the only one.
As far as I know, there had been other people in the past, obviously, because there's other equipment in place, but most of this equipment is old, and it was built not necessarily by the same person, but generally by many different people, some working at the institutions that actually have the hardware.
Is there a lot of demand for your services?
Not a great deal. As I say, I do other types of consulting as well, but this happens to be one area that I work in because I'm filling a void that there's no one else working in.
How did you get interested in execution design?
Well, I was asked by a state a number of years ago, it was 9 years ago, after their capital punishment bill had been recently passed, after the Supreme Court had voided all of the other existing capital punishment laws. And I looked at a system to determine whether or not I could use it. It was the state could use it. It was an electrocutionist system. The state's law was eventually declared unconstitutional, and it's presently waiting for more legislation to be passed. But the community of states that execute inmates is a very small one, and my name has been passed around, and by this point I've talked to just about every warden, commissioner, and engineer in the United States that have capital punishment as a function of their state.
Do you find this work rewarding, or is it just something you're doing because there's a need for it and you have the ability to do it?
Well, I think it's rewarding in one sense, because although I favor capital punishment, I don't favor capital torture, and much of the equipment that's in place is very old. Some of it doesn't work right. There have been problems over the last 8 or 9 years since the executions have started again, and effectively what I've done is I've standardized the industry, if you will. I've worked with the states. I've supplied new equipment to many of the states. So hopefully, eventually, they'll all be using equipment that's up to par, properly designed, and functional. And they won't be causing any pain at the time they do the execution.
All right. Now, when we continue, I'm going to talk about this report I have in front of me that has your name on it. Will you stay with us?
I sure will.
All right. Our guest is Fred Lucher. He's based in Boston. He's a specialist in execution design. He designs gas chambers and electric chairs and what have you. And we're going to talk a bit about this report. Apparently, Mr. Lucher has done some research into the gas chambers at Auschwitz, among other places, and has some strong opinions about that. And we'll get some of your calls coming up. You stay tuned. 617, I'm Tom Likas. This is KFI AM 640. Tom Likas, live from Los Angeles over KFI AM 640. We are talking with Fred Lucher, an engineer who specializes in execution design. And we have in front of us a report that was provided to us. In fact, I'm not sure of the organization, although I have a suspicion as to who it is. And it talks about, I guess you did some research into the gas chambers in Poland. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, I was contacted something better than a year ago, because my trip was a year ago last February, and I was contacted by the legal staff of Mr. Ernst Zundel, who is an individual. He's a German national who has resided in Canada for the past 25 years or so, and he was on trial on a freedom of speech question. He had, he's a publisher, and he had published a document that had been written by somebody else that said there were no gas chambers in Poland, specifically Auschwitz, Majdanek, and Birkenau. I was contacted because the legal team had contacted various wardens throughout the United States to find out who was their consultant or who worked on their execution equipment, and I was referred by I was referred to them by the Missouri State prison system. At any rate, I was contacted and I was told what the trial was about, and I was asked if I would go to Poland to examine these facilities. I was somewhat surprised because, like everyone else, I had been trained in school, and I thoroughly believed that there were gas execution chambers in Poland that were utilized by the Nazis. I undertook the job only because I was the only individual, probably, that had the expertise to examine these facilities and make a decision as to whether or not they were capable of supporting gas executions. And also because Ernst Zundel had no other place to go, I was it. And here in the United States, I, and I know everyone listening, believes in freedom of speech. So I made a determination that I should perhaps spend some time investigating these to support his fight for freedom of speech. At any rate, I went to Poland, and I examined the facilities, and I returned, and I testified at his trial in Canada. The facilities that I examined, and these were the this was the alleged gas chamber at Auschwitz, which was the it's the main gas chamber that everyone assumes all of the executions were carried out. I also looked at the facilities and investigated everything at Birkenau, which is sometimes called Auschwitz II, and also another camp some distance across the other side of Poland on the Russian border, Majdanek, which is in Lublin. And I found that none of these facilities could have ever supported gas executions.
Why not?
They were not designed so they could function and contain gas. The type of gas that was allegedly used, hydrogen cyanide gas, in the form of Zyklon B, which was a pesticide, the Zyklon B, the gas is dissolved or absorbed into pellets or discs of wood, and the gas has to be heated in order to be driven off to fill the gas chambers. What I actually saw there were facilities that were made out of brick and mortar. They were very cold, very damp, and they were actually morgues and mortuaries. The facilities had no capability of heating the gas, no capability of exhausting the gas, no seals on the doors. There were drains in the floors that led into the main sewer system of the prison camp. There were no fans. In short, if anybody used any of these facilities for execution purposes, they would execute themselves at the same time as they executed anyone within the chamber. Further, they were too small to have handled the numbers of people that were allegedly put through the chamber. If these facilities could support executions and were used, if you compute the time that it would have taken to execute some 6 million of persons, you'd find that it would have taken something better than 68 years. And the crematory facilities that were there, being less efficient, but certainly nowhere near as efficient as what we have today, it would have taken 35 years to cremate all of the alleged bodies that resulted from the execution.
I'm not going to question your expertise in this field, but what I do want to question is, who is David Clark of Decatur, Alabama, the man whose name is on your report?
David Clark is a sales company for revisionist material, and I guess what he does the same thing that the Institute of Historical Review does and Liberty Lobby does in Washington. He purchases the material from the companies that print it and then further resells it.
Are you a revisionist?
No, I am not. I have never been really engaged in this at all or any history relative to this. I assumed all of this happened. I suppose maybe from a personal standpoint, I'm scratching my head and I'm saying, well, this is wrong and perhaps it should be changed. But I'm certainly not an active revisionist, and this only came about because of what I've seen.
Doesn't it bother you that, I mean, let's face it, there's some crazy organizations out there. Decatur, Alabama is not a bastion of liberal thought. Doesn't it bother you that it's possible that your report is being used by every fanatical wacko who runs around in a sheet?
Well, That may be true, but unfortunately, everyone has the right to use the truth. And, I mean, I only reported what I saw, and I gave an opinion as to the facilities that were there. And, I mean, if the truth works for someone, then they should use it.
Now, what about all of the other people who have claimed that there were gas chambers? What about all the people who say they've witnessed these activities? Is it possible that your opinion is wrong?
I don't believe so. From what I've seen, there are no actual witnesses that have seen any of this happen. It's all been hearsay. And as a matter of fact, Raoul Hilberg, who is one of the top promoters of the idea of the Holocaust, his three-volume book series is the Bible of the pro-Holocaust historians. Raoul Hilberg has read my report, and he's in agreement. He reported to the Los Angeles Times that Lucher is right. There are no, there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz, but it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant because the Holocaust happened. Well, I'm not a revisionist, and I don't care what anybody says about the Holocaust occurring. The only thing I do know is that the facilities that I looked at were not gas execution facilities, and I was very happy to have Raoul Hilberg agree with me.
Do you still believe there was a Holocaust?
I don't know what Holocaust means anymore.
You believe that 6 million Jews died during World War II?
I don't think 6 million did. I believe that a great many Jews, Poles, Czechs, and all nationalities died at the hands of the Nazis during the war. But I don't believe, if the Holocaust means gas execution, I don't believe that.
All right, we're going to continue, and we're going to take your calls for Fred Lucher. And he's talking about the gas chambers in Poland. He says these were not gas chambers, that people did not perish in the numbers that we are told, in effect, while he doesn't necessarily align himself with revisionists, revisionists are distributing this material. I'm going to get your opinion on it coming up here in L.A. in the Valleys. 5201 KFI is our number. 5201 KFI in L.A. in the Valleys, or toll free at 1-800-553-4640 from Orange County or the Inland Empire. 629, Tom Likas on KFI AM 640. I'm an engineer who specializes in execution design. He designs electric chairs, gas chambers, and what have you. Says that what they say happened during the Holocaust is with gas chambers didn't happen. That's his opinion after he says he looked into this, and he's written a report, and now it's being distributed by a revisionist organization based in Decatur, Alabama. 5201-KFI is our number in L.A. and the Valleys, or toll-free 1-800-553-4640. Let's go to the telephones here. Rick in Encino, you're on KFI. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Rick.
Apparently this guy smells a little too much of his own gas. I'm going to try to be patient, but first of all, if he's self-educated, he's the only one in the field, then obviously there's no one to consult above him, so he'd never even know if he's wrong. Second of all, it was obviously a much different scene when it was happening than when he visited. Doesn't he understand that they weren't operational when he was there, and that when it was going on, that they were quite operational? Third of all, there were several different locations, and not all of them in Poland or Polish design. Fourth of all, gas was one of many, many means used to murder Jews, including the ovens, firing squads, medical experimentations ad nauseum. And fifth of all, sir, if you're talking about something that you don't know anything about, then just stop talking, okay? Find something else to do.
Mr. Lucci, did you want to respond to that? Hello?
Well, there you go, Tom.
All right. Thank
you.
Thank you for the call, Rick.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now. Ed is a first-time caller from Yuma, Arizona on KFI. Hello, Ed.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tom. I just want to say that out here in sun-baked Yuma, Arizona, you're a real breath of fresh air.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Ed.
Well, anyways, what I wanted to ask was kind of off what you were just talking about, but I want to know what Mr. Lucha feels is the most advanced form of a painless execution that our state should be using today.
I think he must have disappeared. I'll tell you what. Hang on there, everybody, and we're going to try to find Mr. Lucha, who either got another phone call or got disconnected, and we'll continue our conversation. Stay tuned. 6:37, 23 now, before 7 o'clock. My name is Tom Likas. This is KFI AM 640.
18 now before 7 o'clock, Tom Likas, KFI AM 640. Mr. Lucher, we found you?
Yes, you've got me.
Okay, good. Let's bring Ed back, and Ed will give us his question in capsule form again, and then you can respond to him. Ed, go ahead.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. What I was going to ask Mr. Lucher was what he thinks today is the most advanced form of painless execution that our state should be using.
Presently today, it's lethal injection. And that's a system where three chemicals are introduced into the body sequentially, first being sodium pentothal, the second being panthronium bromide, and the third being potassium chloride. The pentothal puts the individual to sleep, the panthronium bromide paralyzes the lungs, and the potassium chloride seizes the heart. The operation should take no longer than 3.5 to 4 minutes.
And is electrocution very painful?
No, it's not painful at all. Unconsciousness takes place in 1/240th part of a second. That's 24 times as fast as it takes for the human nervous system to record pain. The entire central nervous system is destroyed on the first application of the current.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lucher.
Thank you for the call, Ed. Joyce is a first-time caller from Van Nuys on KFI. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say that I really enjoy your show. And it's almost like I don't want to get off the freeway at night because I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
I'm really outraged. I'm Jewish, and I'm proud of it. And to me, this gentleman is just making another excuse for saying there was no Holocaust. I'd like him to explain to me how or why he thinks that the gas chambers didn't work.
May I go?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. The gas chambers, the design of the facilities that were there was such that if any gas were introduced into the chamber, it would have killed more people than those in the chamber. It would have wiped out those persons operating the chamber. Additionally, while I was there, I took forensic samples, and we compared the forensic samples to those that we removed from a delousing facility at Birkenau. We found very high concentrations of hydrogen cyanide gas in the delousing facility sample. But in the alleged gas chamber areas, the samples taken from there had no cyanide traces at all, and there should have been at least 100 or 1,000 times as much gas remaining behind in the brick and the mortar.
And what year did you do this in?
I just did it last year.
Well, I really think it's a bunch of baloney. First of all, are you saying that there was no Holocaust and that there were not Jews that that went through this and died thousands?
Well, what I said, ma'am, is that at the facilities at Auschwitz, Birkenau and Majdanek, and these are the alleged gas chambers in Poland, I said they were not gas chambers. If there were gas chambers elsewhere, or they used some other means, I don't know.
Well, you know, I think there's things more important than life. And to bring this up again, I mean, I've had people tell me that they don't believe that thousands of Jews were killed. And I think it's horrible because there's pictures, there's proof, and now you're bringing this up all over again just to get notoriety and to get yourself on the radio. And I think you should think twice before you do research into things like this. And you better have a little bit better idea of how much you should research something like this. And the fact that you went last year or this year doesn't mean a damn thing.
Why doesn't it?
Because how many years ago did the Holocaust happen?
Probably something on the order of 50.
And all these chemicals remain so that you could test them.
They remain forever, ma'am.
Well,
that's
I don't
why
believe
I was
you.
Able
I'm
to test
really
them.
Sorry. And I just think that people like you, you know, and you're probably not Jewish either, right?
No, I'm not.
Well, you should have lived through that and had relatives that lived through it, and then you would know that it's something that, yes, we're remembered, you know, the Jews are remembered, and every day it's brought up. And I really think that enough is enough.
I didn't say the concentration camps weren't horrible, ma'am. All I said is that the facilities that I examined could not have supported gas executions. If there were other facilities elsewhere, or if they were executed by some other means, I don't know. That's beyond my capability to know, unless I'm sent to investigate them. My reason for getting involved in this is because I testified at Ernst Zundel's freedom of speech trial in Canada. And the only reason I went is because I was the only one with the expertise to examine the facilities. And I hope you do as well, believe in freedom of speech.
Yes,
and whether you agree with what somebody says, we should defend his right to say it. And that's why I became involved. It's not something I normally do.
Well, I believe in freedom of speech, but like I said, maybe these people didn't die immediately. Maybe they suffered, but there were definitely people that died in those chambers. Definitely thousands and thousands. And I have relatives who knew people, we are reminded of this every year. We pray for these people who died and lost their lives, and I think it's just terrible that people keep bringing it up.
Thank you, Joyce, for the call. I appreciate it. This is Josh, your first-time caller from Anaheim on KFI. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
Mr. Lutzer, I think before you begin to talk about this, just as everyone else said, you have to research this a little more. I think you're coming from a bad background. I think that there's a little more than the technical aspect of this. The same view, I took a trip to Israel last summer with a group of 59 other people. I was chosen out of 120 people to go on this trip. Took a trip to Poland, and I visited all the same places that you have visited. And walking into the Majdanek gas chamber, I mean, after being coated 40 times, you still see stains of the Zyklon B gas on the walls. I don't understand how you can say that it didn't happen when you walk into the place and you still see the gas sitting on the walls. When you still see canisters, thousands of canisters, sitting in piles in the camps, left over. I mean, I don't know where you're coming from to say that there weren't gas chambers and that millions of people didn't die in these gas chambers after seeing millions of pairs of shoes lying around in the Majdanek. There are 300,000 pairs of shoes. Now, you tell me how 300,000 people died without just falling down and dying? No, I'm sorry. They shoved thousands of people into those gas chambers daily.
Well, I don't necessarily believe that that pile contained 300,000 pairs of shoes, but I agree with you that the blue staining is hydrogen cyanide gas residue.
So what was done in there?
The problem is that the areas you looked at were not gas chambers. They were delousing chambers. And
are you saying they would delouse these people with Zyklon B gas?
No. They deloused bed linen and clothing. The areas that have the gas, all of the people who support the Holocaust, all of the experts will say that the areas that I examined.
Wait, who are the experts on the Holocaust? I consider myself an expert on the Holocaust. I have hundreds of books. I've taken a trip to Poland. Blow up all of their gas chambers at the Liberation in Birkenau. Can you tell me why? Were they afraid to let people know that they were sanitary people and that they just decided to blow these up so people wouldn't know that the loud clothing?
Well, the problem is we actually don't know who blew them up.
Oh.
Okay, there's no evidence to support that. I tried to make a determination of this. Even the camp officials, the museum officials, don't know.
The museum officials?
The museum officials
are the people that put a hotel on Auschwitz. The museum officials are the people that say that disregard the fact that Jews died in these camps. The museum officials are the same people that lock up the exhibit about the Jews unless a group of Jews comes in. When I went with the group, they knew that we were a Jewish group, and they ran ahead of us to unlock that exhibit. They keep that exhibit locked so people won't see it. They know what happened. They just don't want people to know. They want people like you to believe that it didn't happen. They want people like you to tell the world to forget that it ever happened so that these people can try to do it again.
How do you explain the fact that there was no hydrogen cyanide residue in the alleged gas chambers, but there was a great deal of hydrogen cyanide residue in the delousing chambers?
There weren't any delousing chambers. You're looking at it from a completely different point of view than I am.
A room that's 3.5 feet wide by 5 feet tall by 6 feet long.
Where was this?
Is in an execution chamber. Sir.
Where was this, sir? Where was this?
Majdanek.
They
were at Birkenau and they were at Auschwitz. Apparently, you missed them. You didn't see them.
The only gas chamber that is still standing at Auschwitz is in the main camp. All the ones in Birkenau have been blown up. How did you see these gas chambers that were blown up?
Did you go into delousing facility number one at Birkenau or delousing facility number two? Did you go at Majdanek to disinfection building one?
Yes, I did.
Did you go into disinfection building number two? Did you see the delousing facilities that were not gas chambers, that were small rooms that had the capability of heating the air to produce the gas, fill the room, and then exhaust the gas?
I'm sorry, the Nazis at that time were not concerned with that. They would kill these Jews any way they can. They would throw them. Do you realize there were thousands of people in this gas chamber?
Each body
at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit? I think that's enough heat to start that Zyklon B gas
going,
whether it goes by itself or not.
How hot?
What?
How hot? How hot?
We're talking about thousands of bodies in a tiny room piled up on top of each other.
I personally
think that's enough
to
heat. That's what we're talking about. Wait, were they afraid of this clothing? Why did they have to drop the Zyklon B gas onto the clothing? Tell me why they had to do that.
Because of lice.
Why did they have holes in the ceiling so that they could drop the gas in? Tell me why.
The holes in the ceilings were vent. If you dropped gas through the ceilings, you'd kill yourself also.
But why did they have to use Zyklon B gas? You're not making sense.
So this is what I'm saying. Zyklon B gas would not be the gas to use if you were executing people. If you wanted to have an execution chamber, you'd make the gas by putting sodium cyanide into sulfuric acid. It would make 1,000 times more gas, and you don't need heat.
Josh, I thank you for the call. We'll continue with our final moments with our Fred Lucher. And your call, 653-7 now, before 7 o'clock. I'm Tom Likas, and this is KFI AM 640. Yes, Bill?
Yeah, I'd like to, in the light of the fact that there have been miscarriages of justice and people unjustly executed in this country, and others who have come very close to being zapped unjustly before having their innocence discovered, I'd like to know if your guest has any problem reconciling that some have already been murdered and others in the future will be murdered in his devices by the state.
I don't know for a fact that anybody who has been executed unjustly. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but that is not my responsibility. My responsibility and the reason why I do this is to see that those persons that are being executed are not being tortured, but are being cleanly executed and feel no pain. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten involved.
Well, I've seen figures that have said that, you know, people have been, you know, executed unjustly. And just recently as a couple months ago, that black sharecropper in Florida was just released from prison, and now he almost got zapped. And I just think it's takes a desensitized individual to be able to be able to reconcile that. Because
I like to think of myself as very sensitized, because one of the things that concerns me is that if any of these people suffer. Which, and I believe that to be totally wrong, I believe it to be demeaning not only to them, but to all of us in whose name the execution is conducted. And as I say, my prime feeling is that I don't want any of these people to be hurt.
Bill, I thank you very much for the call. We're out of time, Mr. Lucci. I want to thank you for spending this hour with us today.
I thank you for having me, Tom.
Okay.
Have a nice evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Brad Lucci, an engineer specializing in execution design.